An alle Aufsichtspersonen, verteilen Sie jetzt die Aufgabenbogen für den Prüfungsteil Hörverstehen. Die Prüfung beginnt in 2 Minuten. An die Kandidatinnen und Kandidaten, beschriften Sie jetzt das Deckblatt des Aufgabenbogens Hörverstehen. Achtung, lesen Sie die Aufgaben erst, wenn der englische Text beginnt. Kaufmännische Berufsmaturität 2011, Kanton Zürich, Englisch, Serie 1. Listening Comprehension. This part of the examination consists of 2 different listening comprehension tasks. There will be pauses before and after each task to give you time to read the questions and to check your answers. You will hear each task twice. Task 1. In the first part of the test, you will hear an interview with a woman who has written a book about face reading. As you listen, fill in the gaps 1 to 10 in the notes below. In some gaps, more than one word is necessary for a complete answer. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task 1. Ready?
In today's program, we're talking about faces and what they can tell us about a person's character. In the studio is Lillian Scott, who's written a book about the skill of face reading. Lillian, Welcome.
Hi.
So, is this idea that you can tell a person's character from the shape of their face a new theory?
Oh no, it goes back centuries actually. But it's only now that people are studying it more seriously. The idea has reached us in Europe via Australia and New Zealand, but the skill was originally developed in China. I go into this in some detail in my book.
And the book's called?
Well, it took a long time to find a title. I wanted to call it Face to Face, but apparently there's already a book with that title, so that wasn't allowed. In the end, someone suggested The Naked Face, which sounded good because I wanted to focus on things which everyone can see, but which we tend not to notice. So we went for that.
And the book begins by describing how the face works, doesn't it?
Yes. For example, there are 14 bones in the face, with around 95 muscles working around them. This means that we can do all sorts of things with our faces, revealing a great deal about ourselves in the process, because our faces are changing all the time as we speak, as we react towards the world around us.
And can you observe this in your own face?
Well, yes. I mean, when people look in a mirror, they tend to adopt a particular facial expression, the one they think looks best. They try to do the same thing when posing for photographs, but usually without success, because you can't actually see what you look like till later. That's why people are always saying, "I look awful in that photo," when to the rest of us, they look perfectly normal. And of course, seeing yourself on video can be quite an uncomfortable experience, because then you see all your changes of expression and so on.
And some people think they have a best side, don't they? Which they always turn towards the camera.
That's right. And of course, each side is always different. It's a fact that's puzzled scientists for years, but it is true. Some face reading experts say that people generally want to show the right side of their face to the world because they feel the left is the personal side. You know, they want to keep it to themselves.
Really? And what character traits can you see in people's faces? Give us some examples, things we could look out for.
Well, good managers generally have wide faces with the cheekbones wide apart, which is meant to indicate a strong desire to achieve things and meet targets.
Okay. Anything else?
Other good signs for success at work are a strong chin, which represents determination. And of course, the shape of the lips has long been associated with that as well.
Right. But what if you don't look like that? Can you make the most of what you've got in a job interview, for example?
Yes, you certainly can. And of course, women especially try to do this. The first thing to remember is that you should look people straight in the eye when you speak, even if it means moving your chair. Some people use makeup or a new hairdo to emphasize or play down certain facial features, but it's best to get professional advice, because too much or badly applied makeup, for example, would be a mistake. It actually puts people off.
Sure.
But basically, it's more a question of how you behave at interviews. If you're tense, your face is likely to look tight and unrelaxed, and people will think that's also your character. Whereas if you keep nodding and smiling to show that you're really interested in what they're saying, people tend to like you better.
Thank you, Lillian. And if you'd like to buy Lillian's book, it will be available in shops.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
In today's programme, we're talking about faces and what they can tell us about a person's character. In the studio is Lillian Scott, who's written a book about the skill of face reading. Lillian, welcome.
Hi.
So, is this idea that you can tell a person's character from the shape of their face a new theory?
Oh no, it goes back centuries actually. But it's only now that people are studying it more seriously. The idea has reached us in Europe via Australia and New Zealand, but the skill was originally developed in China. I go into this in some detail in my book.
And the book's called?
Well, it took a long time to find a title. I wanted to call it Face to Face, but apparently there's already a book with that title, so that wasn't allowed. In the end, someone suggested The Naked Face, which sounded good because I wanted to focus on things which everyone can see, but which we tend not to notice. So we went for that.
And the book begins by describing how the face works, doesn't it?
Yes. For example, there are 14 bones in the face, with around 95 muscles working around them. This means that we can do all sorts of things with our faces, revealing a great deal about ourselves in the process, because our faces are changing all the time as we speak, as we react towards the world around us.
And can you observe this in your own face?
Well, yes. I mean, when people look in a mirror, they tend to adopt a particular facial expression, the one they think looks best. They try to do the same thing when posing for photographs, but usually without success, because you can't actually see what you look like till later. That's why people are always saying, "I look awful in that photo," when to the rest of us, they look perfectly normal. And of course, seeing yourself on video can be quite an uncomfortable experience, because then you see all your changes of expression and so on.
And some people think they have a best side, don't they? Which they always turn towards the camera.
That's right. And, of course, each side is always different. It's a fact that's puzzled scientists for years, but it is true. Some face-reading experts say that people generally want to show the right side of their face to the world because they feel the left is the personal side. You know, they want to keep it to themselves.
Really? And what character traits can you see in people's faces? Give us some examples, things we could look out for.
Well, good managers generally have wide faces with the cheekbones wide apart, which is meant to indicate a strong desire to achieve things and meet targets.
Okay. Anything else?
Other good signs for success at work are a strong chin, which represents determination. And of course, the shape of the lips has long been associated with that as well.
Right. But what if you don't look like that? Can you make the most of what you've got in a job interview, for example?
Yes, you certainly can. And of course, women especially try to do this. The first thing to remember is that you should look people straight in the eye when you speak, even if it means moving your chair. Some people use makeup or a new hairdo to emphasise or play down certain facial features, but it's best to get professional advice, because too much or badly applied makeup, for example, would be a mistake. It actually puts people off.
Sure.
But basically, it's more a question of how you behave at interviews. If you're tense, your face is likely to look tight and unrelaxed, and people will think that's also your character. Whereas if you keep nodding and smiling to show that you're really interested in what they're saying, people tend to like you better.
Thank you, Lillian. And if you'd like to buy Lillian's book, it will be available in shops.
That is the end of task one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to task two. Task two. In the second part of the test, you will hear an interview with Peter Harris, a painter and decorator who took part in a television program. For questions 1 to 10, mark the best answer A, B or C. You now have 90 seconds in which to look at task two. Ready?
Last year, in a television series called Faking It, various people were given 4 weeks to learn the skills of a new profession. Peter Harris, a painter and decorator, was one of them, and he joins me in the studio today. Peter, welcome.
Hi.
So, why were you selected to take part in the program, Peter?
Well, one day I got a phone call from someone asking me if I'd like to take part. They'd called lots of decorating companies all over the country looking for someone willing to spend 4 weeks learning to be an artist. You know, instead of painting walls and doors, you'd learn how to do abstract art, and the cameras would be there to see how you got on. But they couldn't get anyone to volunteer. At first, I thought it must be one of my friends playing a joke on me, so I laughed and put the phone down.
Really?
Yeah, but then they called me back and gave me a number at the television company where I could call them, and that's when I realised it was for real.
So, what did your friends think?
Well, they thought it was funny because I know nothing about art, but I think they admired me for giving it a try. Before the filming started, I went down to the local art gallery with them to have a look at some abstract art. To be honest, I thought it was all a load of rubbish, but I still wasn't convinced that I'd actually be able to do it.
So what happened? How did you learn?
Well, at first I actually found it exciting, because I never knew what was happening from one day to the next. But basically I had lessons, and of course I found it was harder than you'd think, especially with the cameras watching. But the worst bit was having to film what's called a video diary every evening, saying how the lessons had gone and how I was feeling.
But you enjoyed it.
I began to see that there really is something behind abstract art. People look at a painting and say, "What is it?" Or, "It's just a load of paint thrown about." But actually, there is a lot more to it than that. I think people laugh at things they don't understand sometimes, but that doesn't mean it's no good. The artist wants you to think, you know, which can be hard work.
Absolutely.
Then one day I was just painting freely, you know, experimenting, and suddenly I realised that what I had painted looked like a wheelchair. I'd had a football accident as a child and I couldn't walk for a while. It was a frustrating and frightening time for me. Suddenly all those feelings came back to me. It was so unexpected, and I realised that a part of me was coming out in the painting. It reduced me to tears.
Did other people see the wheelchair?
I don't think so, but funnily enough, that was one of the pictures that went through to the final programme. The idea was that my paintings would be shown in a gallery, alongside lots of real artists' work, and a panel of experts would try and say which ones were mine. It was all part of the idea of the programme. Anyway, I was fairly determined to prove that I could do it. Lots of people were surprised when 3 out of 4 experts failed to spot which paintings were mine. But I was delighted.
So, now you're an artist?
Sort of, yeah. Actually, since the show, I've sold about 15 paintings, which has impressed my family more than anything. And I thought the other artists would really hate me because they find it so hard to sell their work. But they were fine. No, the only people I didn't like were some of the people who bought my work. They only seemed to be interested in how much it would be worth in the future.
Peter, thank you.
Now listen again and check your answers. Ready?
Last year, in a television series called Faking It, various people were given 4 weeks to learn the skills of a new profession. Peter Harris, a painter and decorator, was one of them, and he joins me in the studio today. Peter, welcome.
Hi.
So, why were you selected to take part in the program, Peter?
Well, one day I got a phone call from someone asking me if I'd like to take part. They'd called lots of decorating companies all over the country looking for someone willing to spend 4 weeks learning to be an artist. You know, instead of painting walls and doors, you'd learn how to do abstract art, and the cameras would be there to see how you got on. But they couldn't get anyone to volunteer. At first, I thought it must be one of my friends playing a joke on me, so I laughed and put the phone down.
Really?
Yeah, but then they called me back and gave me a number at the television company where I could call them, and that's when I realised it was for real.
So, what did your friends think?
Well, they thought it was funny because I know nothing about art, but I think they admired me for giving it a try. Before the filming started, I went down to the local art gallery with them to have a look at some abstract art. To be honest, I thought it was all a load of rubbish, but I still wasn't convinced that I'd actually be able to do it.
So what happened? How did you learn?
Well, at first I actually found it exciting, because I never knew what was happening from one day to the next. But basically I had lessons, and of course I found it was harder than you'd think, especially with the cameras watching. But the worst bit was having to film what's called a video diary every evening, saying how the lessons had gone and how I was feeling.
But you enjoyed it.
I began to see that there really is something behind abstract art. People look at a painting and say, "What is it?" Or, "It's just a load of paint thrown about." But actually, there is a lot more to it than that. I think people laugh at things they don't understand sometimes, but that doesn't mean it's no good. The artist wants you to think, you know, which can be hard work.
Absolutely.
Then, one day, I was just painting freely, you know, experimenting, and suddenly I realised that what I had painted looked like a wheelchair. I'd had a football accident as a child, and I couldn't walk for a while. It was a frustrating and frightening time for me. Suddenly, all those feelings came back to me. It was so unexpected, and I realised that a part of me was coming out in the painting. It reduced me to tears.
Did other people see the wheelchair?
I don't think so, but funnily enough, that was one of the pictures that went through to the final programme. The idea was that my paintings would be shown in a gallery, alongside lots of real artists' work, and a panel of experts would try and say which ones were mine. It was all part of the idea of the programme. Anyway, I was fairly determined to prove that I could do it. Lots of people were surprised when 3 out of 4 experts failed to spot which paintings were mine. But I was delighted.
So, now you're an artist?
Sort of, yeah. Actually, since the show, I've sold about 15 paintings, which has impressed my family more than anything. And I thought the other artists would really hate me because they find it so hard to sell their work. But they were fine. No, the only people I didn't like were some of the people who bought my work. They only seemed to be interested in how much it would be worth in the future.
Peter, thank you.
That is the end of task 2. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers. That is the end of the listening comprehension test. Stop writing and hand in your papers.